Yeah.
I got quite a loaded question here for you.
That's kind of like.
Okay. We had, during this whole period that we discussed, we've had thousands of good health and trade union comrades that have been recruited into the party. And there's a real need for us to understand the roots of why we lost these comrades over the past years. There's a real need to understand that, why the party, and like yourself, why you stayed all this time. Mm-hmm. There's a real need for us to understand where we lost all these comrades. And I would like to make a comment briefly on that right at the end of the Second World War. When I went into the bottle back east, walk into the local, it was divided. You had the left and the right. You had the Ruther fraction and the left, and then R.D. Thomas fight, you know.
Yeah.
During this battle, it was in 19, they organized a great big rally in Cadillac Square in Detroit, where they had buses and they had all the auto workers go down to Detroit. Well, there were about 100,000 workers. Well, the thing that got the biggest ovation was the call for a labor party. It was real strong sentiment. It was all through the factory. Everybody was pushing for a labor party. Well, at that time, we were back in Ruther versus the Stalinists were back in Thomas. In other words, we could see no third alternative. We could only see the alternative either Ruther or Thomas. And I know that we were limited by our size at the present time. But I sort of get the feeling that we adapted a little too much to the trade union scene. And that's where perhaps we lost a lot of those trade union comrades.
The question is, with all the hundreds of trade unions that we recruited in the party, in the period about which I'm talking, 1946, 48, and during World War II, why did we lose them? And why did some stay and some go? Well, as I said, our comrades were active in the trade union movement. They became leaders in the trade union movement and fought and became leaders on basis of the issues that were confronting the unions, the building of the unions, the defense of the unions, the wages, conditions, and all the things that unions fight for. And we were the best fighters, as we are the best leaders and the best activists in the anti-war movement today. And we recruited people on basis of our work in the unions. I myself recruited out of my union quite a number of people, black and white. Not one of them remains in the party today, and why not? The period of recruitment, the biggest recruitment, was 1944-1946. In 1947 was the beginning of the McCarthy period. The Taft-Hartley bill was passed in 1947. The McCarthy period began to hit us very hard in 1948-1949. We hadn't had time, actually, to turn the trade union people that we had recruited, very good comrades, into hardened socialists that could withstand the repression. And that is especially true of the black comrades that were recruited. Especially true of them. We had at one time in San Francisco, we had, about a quarter of the membership was black. Most of them recruited out of the shipyards. And when they were separated from their unions, which the most of them were immediately after the war, the first hired, the last hired, first fired, and had to go to work for the government or carry mail or, you know, in some area like that, they drifted away from the party, and primarily because they were the first victims of the witch hunt. They were visited in their homes by the FBI. They were intimidated, they were threatened, and quite often they would tell us very frankly, when they wouldn't come around to meetings anymore and you would go out and talk to them, why aren't you coming to meetings? They say, look, I like your party. I like the military. You're a fine group of people. But I have to have a job. I have to work. And I have a family. and I can't stand the pressure. They'd be very, very frank with you about it. This is true also of the white trade unionists. They have not yet become socialists. There was not time. Historically, there wasn't time to educate and to train them as socialists. That's the primary reason that we lost many of the majority of the people that were recruited during that period. Why am I still here? I was in the party since 1937. That doesn't mean that we lost all of them. Some of them who were recruited in that period stayed and saw it through and are still in the party. But most of them we lost. And during periods of repression, those who are not tough and can stand the gaff are the first to go. And I think that's the principal reason. A party goes up and it goes down. It goes up with the rise of the working class, with the repression of the working class, usually the party loses. At one time, Lenin, just prior to the revolution, said that he could count all the Bolsheviks in Russia on his two hands that he was actually in contact with. So, considering we didn't lose that many, we maintained a cadre. We fought through the McCarthy period, and we came out of it with a cadre so we could take advantage of the new upturn. I don't believe it was the fault of the party. I believe it was historical circumstances. Many of the trade unionists and the black comrades that we recruited, we were able to keep in contact with for a long time. We actually hand-delivered their militants to them. We had routes for 3 or 4 years where we hand-delivered militants, and we used to go out and talk to them. We had small classes and all that sort of thing. We tried everything we could, but the pressure was too great. And you'd have to go through the McCarthy period to know what it was. We might come into another period like that again. And a period like that will be the testing of the party again. It will be the testing of every comrade in this room.
Oh, I'd like to know something about the ILGW and if we played any kind of major role in that period.
ILGW, International Lady Farmer Workers. Right. Yeah, we had comrades in it. We had comrades in it in San Francisco, and we had comrades in it in the East Coast too. If we played any major role, I don't know. I don't remember. I know we had comrades who participated in the strikes in the period of the 40s in the Bay Area, but we didn't play any leadership role. Not that I know. Not in this area. Paul was here in 1946, and he was east just prior to that. So he might know something about that. I don't know.
Back in the old buildings, the colors of the period, we had Sylvia Bleeker.
Bleeker.
Played a leading role in the ILWU, which was controlled by the Lovestoneites, pretty much, a political tendency. And we had quite a few comrades in there in the period of 1933 from 32 to 34. And eventually, the Lovestoneites maneuvered us out of the Union. But to go back and read the early notes of that day,
on that, I remember when Ruth was in New York in 1937, she spent a year in New York before she came back to work in Lundberg's office. She said one of the greatest thrills that she has ever experienced as far as our work in the trade union movement was one time down in the garment area where Sylvia Bleeker addressed in Yiddish a tremendous meeting of garment workers. I don't think it was ILGW, but it might have been.
Oh, I'd like to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to go back to this black recruitment and people at Lexington Party and Columbia. I can understand the impact of the McCarthy period, yeah. And how it, black people But I don't like to be venomous or anything like that, but I find it hard to believe that, we didn't have time to develop the workers as into socialists, hardcore socialists,
yeah,
who could stand up under such an attack.
Yeah.
If the bulk of our recruitment started in 1946, in 1944, I'm sure there were some black comrades in the party even before that, so we say, I'll say, make it 43 just to be liberal. So say from 43 up to 1950, when the real impact of the thrust of the McCarthy period took hold, during all that period of time, the party did not have the time to develop that's about 6 years of struggle in the trade union movement and in the socialist movement. Mm-hmm. I mean, the party didn't have time to groom and to put these black comrades into situations where they would be hardened socialists over this period of time. I think, in fact, I've only been in the party 2 years, and I don't know how much of a hardcore Bolshevik I am, but I ain't got to stand up anything that Washington can throw at me because I ain't got no job in the first place. But I would think that 6 or 7 years is you can do an awful lot with a person in 6 or 7 years. You can turn a raving ultra left into a Bolshevik.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I wish you was
well. You have to understand the difference of the quality of the experience was different. See, like I say, you are recruited in a period where the general level of consciousness and the movement towards socialist consciousness is much more advanced. We recruited primarily on trade union level, and then we have classes and so forth. We didn't have the education, for instance. Like, there's a tremendous education in the anti-war movement on the whole international politics and so forth. That is a kind of education which we didn't experience directly, in our work. That was what had to be taught, the role of the war, the role of the capitalist class internationally and so forth. That had to be taught. Now, we had classes, and we didn't lose everybody. We kept some very fine comrades, and for a long period of time, some of them in the East Coast they have quite a number of comrades who came out of that period that are still around. We didn't lose them all. But Trotsky said one time it takes 10 years to make a Bolshevik. Now that's no longer true. That was the period that he was talking about in the Soviet Union. That's no longer true. It doesn't take that long to make a Bolshevik now, because the rapidity of experience, the wealth of experience that you can get in this period is so great that a person can develop much faster. And I see comrades coming at the party now, developing into speakers and organizers and so forth in the anti-war movement, where it just wasn't possible in those days. You develop into a trade union organizer or something like that, but to develop into a political leader took a much greater period of time because experience was different. I came in the party in 1937. I wasn't even elected to an executive board, not even to an executive board, until 1942. And I went on to the National Committee in 1952. I mean, now you have people coming to the party, they're on executive board in 6 months, they're organizers in a year, and inside of 2 years, they're correspondents, they're traveling all over speaking, they're leaders in the anti-war movement and all that sort of thing. Well, that just didn't happen then. The experience was different. And since the experience was different, since the socialism was mostly taught rather than learned through experience, the comrades, when the McCarthy period hit, they actually did not have the hardness to resist. And there's another thing about it. We recruited, the average level of recruitment was 27 and a half. We were recruiting people who were older, who had families, who had sometimes 3 and 4 children. And it was very hard on people like that to resist the McCarthy period. Very difficult. And we understood it. We didn't condemn them for it. We tried to maintain relations with them as much as we could. But we understood that the pressure on a worker, and especially on a black worker, was tremendous. And I don't know what we could have done. I don't know what we could have done to keep the people during that period. We couldn't manufacture anything. We were retreating. We were under attack. We were backing up and fighting all defensive battles. And this isn't what they came in for. They came in through a period of upsurge. They saw the movement going forward. They saw the Labor Party developing. They saw us moving in the direction of workers' control. And when the turn came, and we began to backtrack and move back and take defensive positions, why, it was just too much. Our recruits out of the trade union movement just couldn't stand up to it. Now this is, okay.
Jerry?
Maybe I haven't answered your question, but I tried to.
On the point you made about the nature of the radicalization in the 30s and late 40s, you said it was mainly economic. But isn't it true that up until the rise of the CIO, that the working class movement had been very much influenced by socialist ideas? As an example, by the votes that the Socialist Party was able to garner in the elections. I can recall, I think in one election it received about 900,000 votes. That may be too high. It was over 500,000 votes in one election.
For Debs?
Yeah, the Socialist Party. Norman Thomas received large amounts of votes. I believe almost a million. Yeah. Which is, you know, fairly incredible. And also you mentioned the fact that the socialists were very much involved in building the unions. In fact, some of the unions were dominated by socialists, the rank and file. The workers, the garment workers in New York, the staunch socialists. That's why the New York American Labor Party was formed, as you know, mainly to get that socialist vote of those workers. So that and the revolutionary socialists who were involved in the whole rise of the CIO, I'm sure they must have had some influence on the rank and file. So that the way I see it is that there was a base for socialist ideas during the 30s and up into the 40s. Another example is the one that Tom made, that there was a broad mass base for support for a Labor Party. This was shown time and time again throughout the 30s and 40s. Motions were passed by large unions and large conventions of the AFL-CIO, AFL-NCIO, mostly CIO, not AFL, but some AFL unions passed motions in support of formation of the Labor Party, and some were actually formed, although a large Labor Party, National Labor Party, was never formed. So that this shows a political consciousness. I think there are many examples of that I just pointed out, but it just shows a political consciousness of the workers, not just an economic consciousness. Certainly the demand for Labor Party shows a political consciousness. We don't see anything of this type today at all. In terms of the looking at radicalization, we have to look at it in terms of class. You know, class radicalization. How is it radicalized in terms of class? The raising of working class demands. And if you compare it in that sense, radicalization of the 30s and 40s is much more political in terms of class content than it is today. I'd like you to comment on that.
Can you summarize the comment?
Yeah. Well, that's a rather large comment. It's not a question, really. It's a statement. And
well,
I can just answer to it.
A comment statement, so I want you to show me why you believe that the radicalization of the 30s is mainly economic. And I'm trying to point it as political, and I want you to defend your position further.
I said that we recruited primarily on basis of our economic struggles in the union. Of course, there was the CIO was a political movement. Of course, it was. Any movement of workers for control of their own destiny through the building of trade unions is a political movement. And out of the CIO came a thrust toward a Labor Party, but it never reached fruition. It was never supported by the majority of the trade union movement. The only development that took place was the Michigan Commonwealth, and of course the development in New York itself. There were resolutions passed, and they went to the CIO. They went to the national conventions and so forth. Quite often they were passed, but they never were implemented. There wasn't enough force to develop the Labor Party in this country. And that itself is a commentary on the period. That this kind of a thrust, a political thrust, did not develop in the trade union movement. It didn't develop. And our party, the main advocate, and most of the resolutions that were introduced along these lines were introduced by ourselves or by people under our influence, because that was our line. That was our line. Most of them came out of a movement which, how many comrades did we have? 1,500 comrades? 2,000? Around that. Maybe 3,000. I'm not sure just how many we had. But this was not, our party was not big enough to take full advantage of what had happened and develop the kind of a mass base, a radicalized mass base, a group of radical workers in the trade union movement that could go on to a labor party and could combat the McCarthy period. It just was impossible. We couldn't do it.
If comrades have other questions, maybe you could ask, make it very short, and maybe possibly Asher can...
Procedure of motion.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 10 to 11, and we thank Asher for education. Both comrades like talk to Dr. Mackworth.
Okay, good. Okay. Is anybody in disagreement with that? Fine, so be it.